This episode of Bush Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That is right. I'm not even going to tell you where to go to support this podcast, like patreon.com, to get access to our BSBO tiers and more, because it is our 7-year anniversary. I cannot believe it. I'm probably going to do some post-podcast emotional rant at the end after I read some names of supporters. So stay tuned for that. Good show. Rangers, hey, is this team good? I don't know. You tell me. Seems like they're good, but they can't figure it out. We have the Brat Pack on. Rangers superstar, Ranger Twitter superstar, that's for sure. And Devils, I don't know, mascot, something like that. Pretty good conversation. And some jabs here and there, fun times. And Greg and I break down Libor Hayek, as we do every single episode. So without further ado, just thank you, for those that don't listen to me ramble at the end of this podcast, for listening and hanging out for 7 years, or however long you've been hanging out. It's pretty cool. Without further ado, here's Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Bush Breakaway. Welcome to another week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, and I'm here for our special 7-year anniversary show with my co-host Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello.
7 years. 4 scores and 7 years to go.
I can't believe we've been doing this shit for 7 years. I think if we go back and listen to the 6-year anniversary, it'll be dead on just this.
I bet you we go back and listen to the 1-year anniversary, dead on just be this.
There's one episode where we say, do you think we're going to make it to episode 300? And then we both say at the same time, like, not if we kill each other first. And this is 350. So.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is, had we started this podcast when we were like 24, I needed to do careful math there because 7 years ago I was 26. So I needed to pick an age specific. Like, once I turned 30, I got too old to give a shit about things. So that was the key.
That was the key. We just kept it rolling, just like the Rangers over the weekend. I mean, we take losses when we should have won, and then we win versus the Arizona Coyotes.
When's the last? Have we won on a drink up night?
No, we're 0-6.
0-6 on our live watch parties.
We are 0-6 on live watch parties, so we will be changing the bar again next time to a different bar. Yeah. And we have 2 bars lined up, so stay tuned for February or January for the next one of those.
Yeah, we're trying, guys. Like, I don't know. It can't possibly be us.
Gregory, the Rangers had a 4-minute power play at the end of the game to get back into it. And the power play, which is the most dangerous thing about this team, just decided we can't do anything. We're just going to get the puck as close as possible to going in the entire game and not let it happen. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, the Predator game, the parts I remember about it.
Yeah, you were in a way.
Well, yeah, don't look at that old motherfucker, all right? You're the one that came up to me at the end of the night and was like, hey, the bar wants to do shots with us. And I looked you dead in the eyes and said, that's not a good idea. And they're like, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. And I was like, cool, so we all agree. And then you go, so here's the whiskey, just fucking drink it. And I was like, all right, fine. I mean, peer pressure, that's a thing. I don't want to fucking hear that I was away, sir, when you were right there the entire time.
Definitely. Well, first of all, I'm not taking responsibility for the way you were.
Beforehand. I was fine. What are you talking about?
After that, you were done.
It was a great time. I took the shot of whiskey, I was like, I'm going home. Get me out of here.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out. It was an awesome time. Awesome meeting everybody, as always. I wish we could fucking win a game. We can't. And we'll move on from that. Gregory, you happened to go to the Arizona game on Sunday, somehow, some way survived, and
The Rangers played how I felt in the first period.
Can I tell you how comfortable I felt when the Rangers were getting outshot 16-2? It was like a warm blanket. I'm not even kidding. Like, I was sitting in my bed, like, looking at the laptop. I was like, man, they look like shit. This is awesome. We're going to win this game.
Yep. Yeah, I went with our friend John, and there were two guys sitting next to us. The Rangers ended the first period with 4 shots. Something happened in that 15-minute intermission, and the Rangers came back out, and I noticed that there were only 3 shots on the board, and I just turned to the guys sitting next to us. I was like, yeah, the Rangers losing a shot while being off the ice makes perfect sense.
I mean, that's how the Rangers played in that first period.
It was horrible.
Well, Igor's back in that game, at least. And Igor decides I'm not going to... Arizona, by the way, sneaky frisky.
Well, Arizona's playing like a team where they have nothing to lose, because they have nothing to lose.
They do not. And Patrick Nemeth was on the ice for two goals, which I thought was fucking awesome. A little bit of remembrance. Walked down memory lane. Adam Fox went out and scored a goal right directly against him. Team looked particularly rather strong. Like both games, Nashville and Arizona, just didn't get the points in Nashville. And I think we have to talk about the top story. That obviously is the number one story that everyone wants to talk about, is that I think Libor Hájek might be just okay.
Oh, you don't want to talk about Vitali Krasov dental routine?
Yeah, we can do that too. Because I don't know what's going on with his mouth, because it was the flu at first or sickness. And then all of a sudden it was, I have a tooth infection, which it's just not a good PR look for Krasov. Like, it probably sucks. Tooth infections are the worst. And if you got hit by somebody when you had a tooth infection, the pain is probably unbearable. But with hockey, quote unquote, hockey culture or whatever you want to say, it looks pretty bad for him. I get why he's sitting out if there's something seriously wrong. But with him being injured twice, legitimately, by the way, to legitimate injuries that were not Krasov, but him sitting out. But when you have that narrative going on and then this is what comes out, it is like a am I cursed kind of look.
I don't know. I still, like, he has the flu. Like, what do you want to do? I know how I felt, okay, watching a Ranger game, being asked to sit in a seat and not move. I didn't have the flu, but I did a lot of things to myself, and I felt bad. And I just love the keyboard warriors who sit behind me like, oh, I'd play for the flu. Like, you wouldn't call out sick if your nose was running, you little bitch. Like, I don't want to fucking hear it. I don't. It's just, it's such bullshit. The guy, I feel bad for the guy. Here's the thing. You know why I feel bad for him? Because the Rangers need him in the fucking lineup. That's why I feel bad for him. I get Ryan Carpenter finally scored on Sunday, and I couldn't believe my eyes when it happened. The Rangers need Vitali Krasov playing in their bottom six in order to make this team deeper, better, and more capable of scoring from unlikely sources. They need him.
Because when the kid line is together, the right wing position at the on the top lines is kind of like, what's going on here? Like, Gaudreau and VC? Like, seems like that might need to change. If only we had a solution. And Krasov is that answer, unfortunately.
It's just unfortunate. How many times have we had there's a difference between being unlucky and being injured? And Krasov is the unluckiest human being I've ever met in my life. This would be a lot easier to prognosticate and digest if he just had a hamstring that wasn't working or had a bad back, something you could check on every night. But instead, he's gotten, what, two concussions, a disastrous tooth,
and
the
flu? It was probably one concussion
and
like a neck injury from Hedman kneeing his neck into the boards. Yes.
Okay, if you don't want to call it a concussion, that's fine by me.
I think it was, I can't confirm. Whatever. I'm not a doctor and I wasn't there.
He had injuries.
Up to two head injuries, that is correct.
Yeah, and then he has a bum tooth and the flu. Can you think of anything?
Three head injuries.
No, that's nasal. I get it. It's respiratory more than it is head.
Still in the head. Just saying.
I don't know. Anyway, could you think of anything? Everyone's harpooning on what Krasov. Think of something more miserable than having the flu and needing to go to the dentist. Like those two things happening at the exact same time.
It's a miserable situation, but I hope he feels better, and I hope he's better by Thursday to play the Canucks on a West Coast trip, of which I will be covering zero of the games, because I will be asleep.
One of the games was tomorrow, and I'm so happy for you to tell me that it's not.
It's Thursday, so great news.
I got it. Here's this time of year, there are parts of me that I love the fall. Great season. It's seasonably cool.
Best season.
It's, you know, living that life comfortably between 55 and 72 degrees. It's wonderful. But here's the problem with fall ending. There's just a day where it jumps off a cliff and you never see it coming. It was 67 to 70 on Saturday. Lovely day on Saturday. Sunday, chilly. Today, frigid. And tomorrow, snow. What the fuck? What happened? Where am I? I was wearing shorts 4 days ago. And now I am preparing to shovel my car out of fucking upstate New York snow? Come on. This is the part of the time of year I fucking hate. The sun's gone at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's fucking going from warm to cold in this, like, a smelly fart lingers longer than the temperatures in upstate New York this time of year. I don't like it, Ryan. I don't like it.
That was talking weather with Greg. Let's talk about the power play a little.
speaking of things that can run cold sometimes.
Yeah. I'm fuck, you beat me to it. That was good. So they are running cold in a big way, where they've had a lot of opportunities to take over games, not just the Arizona game. I'm kind of discarding that as a game. The Rangers kind of found their groove. They found what they had last year, which is some resiliency and playing on a back-to-back in 3 games in 4 days, where you're just going to find a way to win. And they did, and I'm happy they did. But in the Nashville game and games before that, the power play hasn't been as dynamic, but it has been close. I'm not going to make a joke about Ryan Strome here. I'm not going to say Vincent Trocheck is a problem. None of this is true. What is, in your estimation, what has gone wrong? Because there's been a little bit of a sloppiness. There's been a little bit of a lost edge. But other than that, they still look awesome all the time. It's not like Kreider isn't scoring. He's got like 6 goals in 9 games.
I think for me, from my 200 feet up perch that I watch the game on, it looks like they're trying for the perfect pass. You can tell that I think they are frustrated they aren't scoring as often as they did last year. And I think that disease is seeping into their brain, where specifically Panarin and Fox, it feels like those two guys are like, I need to make a perfect pass and a perfect play, otherwise we aren't going to score. And they've kind of moved away from what made the power play special last year, is that they got in the mindset that if they simply just put it on net, it was going in. It doesn't matter how sloppy, doesn't matter from where. They felt invincible, and they felt like, if I can just get this moving forward, this will go in. And I think this year, we're starting to see, it's a funny joke for 3 or 4 games when they get a little bad puck luck, but that shit seeps into your brain and into your thinking, where things that worked for you last year aren't working for you this year. And you're like, do I need to change something? Let me see if I can change something. And it does look like Panarin specifically, again, this dude has like 21 assists this year. This isn't a complaint, but it does feel like he's looking for the perfect pass as opposed to just making the right pass. And I do believe there's a difference.
Yeah, it does seem like, and Panarin came out gangbusters this year, right? I have very few complaints about how he's played. It's funny, I have very few complaints about a lot of the top players and how they've gone. Like, with the exception of, I wish, and I know we've had this conversation a couple times, but at 5v5, I wish they had a little more lethal mindset, where it's, can someone shoot the puck? Kako deferred a couple times over the week. I'm not calling Kako one of the top players, because I'm talking about the big guns, like the big six that get really paid, even though Kako has been tremendous this year. But there hasn't been that, I'm going to be selfish because I know we need to shoot situation. Where Panarin, you're right, he has like looked to take the shot once in a while, but for the most part, he's looking for the perfect pass. And maybe that's what's holding that power play up. And sometimes I do think teams are shading to Mika's side now, where it's, they want to start taking that away, where that's where you've seen Chris Kreider really come to life over the past couple weeks, because teams are starting to shade to Mika. That opens up the Adam Fox to Chris Kreider tip-in situation that has broken open in the last couple games. So they'll continue to adjust as the season goes on. I don't expect the power play or the 5v5 to stay this cool the next couple weeks. I think you're seeing what can happen. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the Red Wings game. Dude. I mean, they scored 6 goals. It was 4 goals in 2 minutes and 47 seconds or something that.
Again, I joked about how it wasn't a problem that the Rangers didn't save any goals for Saturday, because the Red Wings game included Barclay Goodrow, Jimmy Vesey, Julian Gauthier, and Lieber Hayek all scoring.
Woo!
So in my head, I was like, oh, they didn't waste any goals. They just got the 4 guys that'll never score again out the way. And then we see, like, they score 1 fucking goal on Saturday. And I was like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ, why?
Filipino, though, looks quite good. Looks quite good.
This is unbelievable.
It's funny, because I don't have a lot of complaints about players, but just the team in general just doesn't seem to be finishing, and that's the only thing. Which does bring me to the one player that's kind of not playing right now, which is Ryan Reeves. And he sat 4 of the last 5 games. You and I's feelings on Reeves are super well documented.
Yep.
On how we feel. Like the guy a lot, don't think he's the best hockey player, think he's very valuable to the team. He's now sat 4 of the last 5 games, as I just said, and it does feel like he is becoming quickly the odd man out on the team, which is fine by us a lot of the time, but do you see him possibly as, because the Rangers do need to get back to 22 players and quick for this trade deadline money to happen. Do you see anything happening with Ryan Reeves?
No. I'm just looking at it from, the New York Rangers are super careful about the players they promote, the players they include in certain marketing campaigns, the players they choose to highlight. There's a reason why you don't see guys like Jimmy Vesey doing certain things for this team. Though Vesey's gotten a lot of airtime recently, like a lot. Vesey's been really good, by the way.
Well, there's a reason he got a lot of airtime. He's been good. And but I say this later in our Brat Pack interview, but this is your point. All credit to you. That's why you don't pay 6 years for Barkley Goodrow when Jimmy Vesey is a PTO.
You just find guys on the heap. I'd rather sign 10 of them and be wrong on 8, but I sign them to a PTO or a one-year deal. You just fucking rinse and repeat. I hate it. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. Barkley Goodrow scored on fucking Sunday. So what?
Yeah, I'm just talking about his contract, not the player.
God, it's so frustrating. It's like Dryden Hunt before him, Jimmy Vesey, fucking Colin Blackwell. Like, the Rangers have such success with these type of players. And they're like, you know what we need to do? We're so good at identifying these type of players. What if we signed a guy that eliminates all these players that we are really good at finding? And it's like, huh, that's a terrible idea. And they're like, cool, gonna do it anyway. Watch while I fucking do this. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, neither here nor there. I caught myself a couple times in the arena noticing how often Ryan Reeves was included in promotional material. Now, I'm not saying that obviously does not determine who plays on a nightly basis, and I don't think Ryan Reeves is going to find his way back into this lineup anytime soon, but I do think he's very safe on the roster. I think they still, quote-unquote, value him, even if they don't need to play him every night. It's funny where I wish they felt that way about more players, where I think they're actually good, but you don't have the need to play them on a nightly basis, especially, I don't know, Ryan, let me see if I've heard this scenario before. Let's say, for example, one of your top four defensemen is injured, and for whatever reason in November, you're deciding between playing him on a nightly basis or just giving him a couple games off so he can recover.
You wouldn't happy. You're not talking about Jacob Trouba, are you?
What? No. This is a completely hypothetical I'm making up that I've definitely never heard of. The guy's name, by the way, for example, let's say it's Shmakeup Puba. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shmakeup Puba. That's correct.
Shmakeup is a little injured right now.
Or Shadul Schneider. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep going.
let's for example, take another guy here. Just name off the top of my head. Let's go with Perard Gillant with a J.
Yeah.
A J.
Yeah. Gillant.
And it's Gillant, not Gillant, yeah. Like his more famous serial killer brother.
My apologies.
Yeah. Let's say he was, I don't know, coach of a hockey team. Like one of the original six teams, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe one
plays. So like the Leafs. Keep going.
Yeah, one that plays in a place, I don't want to say Manhattan, but like a big city.
Yeah, like anyway. Pretend you were watching Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it's just Spider-Man. Yeah, Gotham. Yeah.
Gotham looks a lot like Pittsburgh. You ever notice that?
That is strange, isn't it?
Interesting. And I think Ben Roethlisberger played for that football team. Do you think Bane was trying to kill Ben Roethlisberger?
The fire rises. I don't know. Keep going.
Oh, God. Anyway, let's say that this coach, this completely made up, not a real person, flat back of his head coach, that some people find attractive that I'll never understand. But anyway, I'm not even...
That definitely won't ever cover this podcast, even though we ask. Keep going.
He will. I wonder why. He listens, though. I know that motherfucker listens.
I was told it's only newspapers from a good source.
Schmerard Gillant. All right? That's who we're talking about. That guy listens. The other guy fucking lies. Lord help him. Anyway, say he's a coach. Gets in front of some media members. Let's go with Jolly Palka and Schmitz.
Vice Mike Liano.
Schmitz. King Liano or something like that. All
yeah,
right?
Schmitz.
Schmitz is a good guy. I love Schmitz. Yeah. Love Schmitz. And Colin Stevenson is also there for the record.
Colin's
a real person. He's on a lot of beats. You guys don't understand. Anyway, yeah, these guys ask
Colin's
questions.
In this multiverse. Yeah.
These guys, he jumps between. He's like Wong, essentially. Colin is the Wong of the New York Beat reporter. It's perfect. I love it. Anyway, we're completely jumping the shark here. 7 years we've been doing this show. People, you think they'd understand, they should probably stop to fucking listen one of these times. Anyway, these beat reporters, or let's call them Jeep Schmaporters. They yes. ask a question, and they say, "What's up with Jacob Trouba?" Sorry, Schmakeup Pooba.
Yeah,
he's taking a lot of maintenance. There. My bad, something slipped out there. I was just thinking about this guy that I once got.
Well, you know, the
Rangers.
Captain of the team, he sometimes infiltrates your brain. That's yeah. what that's what being a captain is like. You,
do you think,
get inside the other players. Yes.
Imagine I latched
in a
my
mental
bandwagon
way, by the way.
To
in
a different.
Way.
Imagine I. We use this podcast for such bad things. Like, imagine I picked a different player. I was like, Connor McDavid's going to be a New York Ranger. And here's my 27 reasons why. And it, I did it with Jacob Trouba. You know what? I'm happy I did. He's great. Fuck all of you if you hate him. Anyway, Schmakeup Pooba. He's hurt. We think he's dinged up. Obviously, taking a lot of maintenance days. And the coach goes, yeah, no, he's injured. If this was the playoffs, he'd be playing. So we have him in a playoff mentality. And I go, huh, that's interesting. I must be confused. Let me check the calendar. And I bleep or blopped on my computer. And I look, I got to tell you, Ryan, right now, I don't know if you know this, it's November 14th. It's not, it's 2 weeks until Thanksgiving. The World Cup hasn't even started yet. You're telling me that one of my four most important defensemen, the guy who's the captain of my team, a guy whose role in my lineup is so super important that I can't have him afford to miss a single game,
and we don't have a
playoff
right-
hockey in November?
There's no right-handed defenseman to back him up on this theoretical team in Gotham, yes?
Why, Ryan? Why? 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 Why?
Well, Eels Dunquist, he got traded to the Cowboys or something.
I liked Eels. Have you ever had an eel sushi roll or whatever?
I had an eel sushi roll 2 days ago.
Delicious. 2 days ago in New York?
Yes. Yes, I had sushi for lunch.
Where'd you go? Okay, thanks for the invite, motherfucker. God damn.
I was with Luis.
Okay.
Hanging out story.
You're right. I hate Luis. That good point.
Sorry, you were to Queens. My apologies.
Okay. I don't know. Now I got to roll. Do you know New York is connected by a central transportation system that allows you
like
to get from one
like
borough
Gotham?
To another?
Or no?
Well, no, it's not Gotham, because if I saw the first one correctly, they used that to transport a noxious gas that made people crazy?
Mm.
Except criminals who are already crazy?
Because that, right, that movie does have a couple loopholes.
Yeah, it's like normal people are now going to see ghosts, but criminals, they're going to be okay.
The Rangers have been fine. They are now, they've played 17 games. They are 6 points back in the division from the Devils, who actually have 2 games in hand on them. The Devils are insane. We'll talk about them with Brat Pack in a couple minutes here.
I'm not looking at the teams ahead of the Rangers. I'm looking at the teams behind the Rangers. The Capitals have played as many games as the Rangers.
And they have 16 points, points back.
Yeah, they have a 477 point percentage right now, which ain't going to cut the mustard. And while I expect the Penguins to right the ship, the Penguins have to right the ship more aggressively than the Rangers do. So as there really aren't teams sitting behind the Rangers where I go, oh, I have to worry about X. So that's why, like, yes, I would like the Rangers to be scoring more. Yes, I think they're playing quite well. No, I don't have a lot of complaints about this team. But is it time to panic? The time to panic is not looking up. For me, the time to panic is when you always look behind. And right now, I'm looking behind the New York Rangers. I don't got a lot of reasons to panic.
Yeah, there's not a lot of panicking at all, to me personally. It's just like, hey, when do we have the panic button? January. I'm still sticking to that. Like, January 10th, the Rangers are in sixth place. We can start talking about it. Because I don't care if they get in the playoffs as the fifth seed. I really could care less. I think every team in the East is competitive. We went through it through the beginning of the year, and more teams have actually turned out to be better than we expected. So it doesn't really matter who you're getting in that first round. It is a tough matchup no matter what. So who cares? Just get ready. You have Igor. It's good.
Well, it's not just that. It's also just remember that, like, I hate to be this guy this early in the year, and it feels like I'm going to be excusing bad behavior and all that. But the NHL playoff system is so fucking stupid anyway that it doesn't really fucking matter. As long as the Rangers aren't the second wild card, they're going to be fine. Because here's the thing. If they finish second or third in the Metro, they will probably have to play the Hurricanes before they go to the Eastern Conference Final. If they finish first wild card, they will probably have to play the Hurricanes before the Eastern Conference Final. So, like, as long as they avoid the Bruins in round one, who gives a shit? Like, the Bruins, you will have to play in an Eastern Conference Final, most likely, with the way things are looking this year, as long as they didn't poison the water too much, which they might have. But
Lightning came alive at some point.
I don't know, though. The fucking Vasilevskiy stinks this year. Stinks.
Vasilevskiy, not only that, Hedman's not
awful.
Looking good.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if like the wheels are coming off the wagon in Tampa Bay, blah, blah, blah. But either way, so like if the goal is to avoid the Bruins, all the Rangers have to do is finish not last in terms of playoff teams. And I'm confident they won't. But like if they finish second in the Metro, congratulations, you have home ice in the first round of the playoffs. Like that fucking matters. Rangers lost a couple times to the Penguins on home ice last year. Lost a couple times to the Lightning on home ice last year. No, they didn't lose any home ice games against the Hurricanes, but they also only won one road game. So, like, I don't know. Playoffs are weird. The way the playoffs are set up in the National Hockey League, it's like, all you have to do is get in, and then it's fucking dumb from there anyway. If it was a 1-8 system, I think I would care more about it. But, like, you're going to have to go through the Metro anyway, so who gives a shit? Like, fine. Finish number one wild card, win the Metro. You're playing the exact same teams anyway. Because that's how... No league discourages regular season success more than the National Hockey League.
Let's do some quick five-star questions. There's some long ones. So I'm going to make them kind of shorter as we go through here before we get to our interview. If you want to leave a five-star question, you can go to our Patreon, become a subscriber, leave them on Discord. We'll read them on the show.
How did Spencer Strider not win Rookie of the Year?
Julio Rodriguez won, didn't he?
Julio and Michael Harris.
That's interesting. Bats over pitching? Very strange.
Michael Strider only got 8 first place votes.
That's kind of nuts. He was sick.
Which rookie was better for the Braves, Michael Harris or Spencer Strider?
Strider. Keith Chantover at Duke's MA says, when you go to a hockey game, what do you prefer to sit, center ice or behind one of the goals, and why? I'm a big center ice guy, but I like to sit where they shoot twice. That's where I'm at.
I am also a big center ice guy. I don't
like behind the goalie. I think it's fine. I'm sure people love it, but that's their own opinion.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're behind the goal, the Rangers shoot on twice. Like that, I would honestly be annoyed if I went to a Ranger game and I got the goal the Rangers aren't shooting on in the first or third period.
Same, but I'm being elitist now. This is from Brettley. Are the struggles at the start of the season part of a long con by the Rangers because they got bored coming off back-to-back and winning games after tough first periods and have now decided to come back when the entire season after a tough first third? Everything you just said is what happened in the Arizona game. So you called this on November 8th. Congratulations.
Well, I think we know the Rangers are playing better than the record. We know the Rangers are suffering from a little bit of puck luck, but we've also mentioned that there have been games this year where the Rangers get a 2-goal lead. They think and know they are better than the team they're playing, and they just stop. And they're just like, if we just cruise to the finish line here, we will win this race. And you can't do that in this league. Can't do it. Can't do it in any league.
I'm going to summarize what Panarinoid Android said here, but a lot of chatter has been made. I'm just not reading it. I'm just saying summarizing.
Okay.
A lot of chatter has been made that Hedel or maybe Lindgren are the odd man out coming up in the 2023 salary cap jump if it doesn't jump the way it's supposed to or possibly can with $4 million. Why isn't it Goodrow? I know he has a modified no trade contract and is a reputation of a gritty two-way winner. Could we convince him to take him instead of maybe losing Hedel or someone like Lindgren who is clearly important to the team?
Does he say Goodrow or Trouba?
Goodrow. Trouba is a full no move, so it would have to be Goodrow. It's a modified no trade clause for Goodrow.
But again, like the problem isn't why aren't we, first of all, $3.6 million ain't going to cut the cheddar. That's why. Like
might cut it for Hedel.
Okay, but that's not the problem that you're actually worried about. It's just not the Hedel. I've said it before, and I mean it again. Like Lindgren is the guy. He's the guy you're choosing Hedel between. Because you can only pay one of them. You will find money for Keandre Miller. You'll find money for Alexi Lafreniere. Quite frankly, I think you'll find money for Kaapo Kakko. But you can't find money for everybody. So if you're choosing between Hedel and Lindgren, make that choice carefully. And if it's me, I'm choosing Hedel.
Boy, that's going to be a real shitty day. this is from David. All hail the kayak. Given the PP struggles, maybe we should give them Viagra instead of smelling salts. Okay, let's move on. This is from... Zangarang, obviously he had an amazing start to the season, but I feel like Panarin has lost a lot of his accuracy from outside. I feel like every time he shoots from the circle, it's on net. One of the reasons I feel like he's been so effective in the past is because of the top of the circle. He could dish a perfect pass or snipe the top corner. Is there anything to this, or am I reading a little bit into it after a tough loss versus Nashville?
Yeah, I think you're just reading too into it there.
Sometimes you're the dog, sometimes you're the tree. That's my family saying. And that's kind of what happened with Panarin there. He's still very, very good. He's living a great life.
I think the saying is actually fire hydrant there, buddy.
I always did the tree, so I don't know. That's where I'm at. Yeah, last one from Troubatrain. Been forced to watch Disney movies on repeat with my two-year-old, and it got me thinking, what movies do you think each Ranger's favorite Disney movie are? This is too long. Is Kreider Ratatouille? Is Panarin Frozen on repeat?
Kreider is Mr. Holland's opus, first of all.
I don't know Disney movies that well, and I know that's a sin.
Does it have to be a Disney movie?
He said Disney movies.
Well, I think Mr. Holland's Opus is streaming on Disney Plus, so I'm going to include that. And that would make it even more Kreider's thing. Kreider's thing is actually probably like the Beatles documentary, where everybody loved that shit. But here's my thing, Ryan. Nothing fucking happens in that documentary. Not a fucking thing.
You just get to see behind the scenes, man.
It's just four English guys, two of which hate each other, and one of them's Ringo. And I have to watch that for 12 hours and be like, wow.
What a take.
Master's at work. I can't believe this exists. No, that shit
People
sucked.
People like it.
Shit sucked. Disney movies.
This could be 20 minutes, and I don't even know Disney movies that well.
Off the top of my head, I would say that...
I could do Studio Ghibli. I think...
What?
I think Gotye is Totoro, okay?
I don't know. Are you saying you're making things up?
I'm not. Who the
fuck is Hank Green? Speaking of things that are made up.
I don't know who Hank Green is.
I know.
He's like, Matthew Kachuk.
Even Tom was like, he's the brother of the guy who wrote Fault in Our Stars. I was like, cool. I didn't realize the guy who wrote Fault in Our Stars was famous enough to get his brother famous.
Yeah, I guess he is. Congratulations to him. I don't know. Well, anyway, that's enough of this show.
Yeah, I'll need to think on the Disney movie front because I'm not just going to, like, actually, I will say, I think Hayek is Wally.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's clearly a relic from the past administration, but God damn it, I just want to root for him.
I legitimately spent my Friday night a good 35 minutes thinking about Lieber Hayek, and that's how sad my life is.
Hey, congratulations on the jersey. I saw you got enough retweets.
Yeah, well, I just want to reverse retro. It's definitely going to be fake. Whatever it is. They could have
sent
me a picture
of Lieber Hayek. Well, Ryan, when you think about it, they're all fake unless they're worn in a game.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Everything's fake. Is anything even real in general? We'll just break away, everybody. We'll be right back with Brat Pack, Mr. Pack, and there you go. Transition.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, and we're back with our special 7-year anniversary guest. And I mean, we've been doing this show 7 years, so who else would we have after all this time than our natural replacement, Mr. Pack? How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I gotta say, I'm really, really excited to be here. I've been, between you and me, and I guess everyone listening, been waiting for this invite for a little while.
You know, people ask us to come on the show, and they usually say no.
All it took was Lindy Ruff turning into fucking, like, I don't even know what he is. Earlier this year, we have a mutual, not a mutual friend, mine and Ryan's mutual friend, Jeff, big Devils fan. And once the season started, I was hounding him about, so when are you extending Lindy? When are you extending Lindy? And then, like, now it's like, okay, but seriously, when are you extending Lindy?
Yeah, the joke became real very fast. And I mean, we'll get into this. I still don't think it's going to happen, but I'm having fun, you know, buying into it anyway.
Well, I guess my question is, how did you get the team to work with you? Because we've never been able to do that. So it's been 7 years, and we can't do it, but you figured it out. So what was the secret sauce?
I mean, you know, I've heard from a couple people from, you know, a couple different fan bases, and I think the secret sauce is the Devils front office. I haven't done anything. Most of everything I've done, they've reached out to me and set most of this up. So from what I've heard from these other teams that they would never do that, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. The Devils have been great.
Well, yeah.
This is going to sound like a backhanded compliment. I want you to know that it is. but also that I'm saying it from a true, from a positively truthful experience. Could
yeah.
possibly be that the Devils just feel like they have to do these type of outreach programs, otherwise the fans won't come into the building like they would for, say, I don't know, the Rangers of New York?
You know what? Historically, you're probably correct. They don't need my help right now. My little ticket group is not responsible for the sellout that the Devils had on Saturday. But looking at, from what I know, and I'm very unfamiliar with Rangers front office ownership, whatever you want to call it, so I don't want to get you guys in trouble. But from what I've seen, they may be a little more unwelcoming than others.
You can't get us in trouble.
We yeah. do it. We do it fine on our own. Thank you very
yeah.
much.
You can't Fair do enough. Anything. Because it did seem like you, you said you weren't responsible for the sellout. But after the game, what was it, like 150 people that you were responsible? That's like half the arena.
Yeah, sometimes it feels that way. We had about 200 through our group ticket. And season ticket holders, in addition to that, had joined up with us, because they had already had tickets to the game. So I want to say our final crowd was probably closer to 250, 300 on the ice after the game. But, yeah, in the Prudential Center, that can feel like a sellout, all 300 of us.
Well, it looked like a fun time. I wish we could do something like that. And you and I have had a contentious relationship for months now.
Sure.
I've come on your spaces and yelled at you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they love
that.
You
come in my replies like a real dick, like a couple times.
At yeah, I've
my
done
worst
that.
Moments. So now we're finally here. We're on the same page. I kindly and bravely presented that I think the Devils would be good this year. And I did not think they would be this good. Is the roof going to fall off? You've won, 10 in a row now?
Nine in a row now, yeah.
The goaltending is injured out with the Wahoo, but Hughes, especially Nico, has taken a huge step. I know Hughes, there's some Devils Twitter, we're fake worried, this is fake. And then obviously Jesper Bratt. So what's the thing that people are complaining about on the 9-win streak? What still gets through?
Goaltending really, really is the dagger for the Devils. Vanacek got hit during the Calgary game, and we were really, really scared it could be a concussion or something like that because they pulled him out of that game, and he did not start the next game. But even that, they gave him a clear bill of health today. They said he's traveling with the team on the road trip they're going out on. For all intents and purposes, they sent Nico Daws back to Utica, so It's Vanacek and Schmid moving forward. So goaltending injuries aside, Blackwood's out. Things are doing okay on Devils Twitter right now. I got to say, we really aren't complaining about much. I've had to dive deep into Kako content just to stir the pot a little bit.
Dive deep Jesus. Every day of your goddamn life you post about the Rangers. it's not that deep for you, my friend. The content, get the clicks. I get it. It's the biz content strategy. Let's talk about the Rangers. Get them clicks. I get it.
Biz has turned to the Devils now.
Is that true?
Yes. I am somewhat thankful for it because he's turned his attention to Jesper Bratt. He was
commenting on your shit all of a sudden. That was fucking wild.
Yeah, he one of the Chicklets guys, Pasha, I guess he does their video work, is a major Jesper Bratt fan and has been, in Biz's ear for a long time about this. So now that the Devils are good and Bratt is leading the charge, Biz has pivoted a little bit to antagonizing Devils fans about being in on the Jesper Bratt train.
Wow.
So the seven of you have been really vocal about
it. We've been having a great time. Yes, all seven of us.
I understand he's your namesake, and I understand we were going to get to this bridge earlier. Eventually, I should say. As a New York Met fan, I'm living in a world where the best player to ever wear a jersey for the New York Mets might not be a Met in a couple of weeks. And that's wonderful. Enjoying it. From everything we saw last summer, it sure feels like Bratt is putting himself in a position where he will be allowed to exercise the right of free agency in his prime. Do you take that as he doesn't want to stay? Or is this him being maybe one of the first hockey players to understand that he can maximize his value, even with the team he's currently playing for, if he just marches this on the right on unrestricted free agency?
Honestly, I think you said it perfectly with option two there. Everything we've seen to this point has indicated that he wants to stay in New Jersey, wants to play for the Devils. However, he wants to get paid as much as he can while doing so. And, you know, the big comparison so far has been Aaron Judge, who was given a certain offer that may or may not have been fair at the time and said, no, I don't even want your fair offer. I want the unfair offer, and I'm going to show you why I deserve the unfair offer. And, you know, Brat did that because, you know, from what I know, the Devils offered him an 8-year deal at a very fair offer, and he turned around.
Oh, they offered him 8 years?
They did. I'm sorry. Yeah, my computer cut out there. They offered him eight years.
I'm surprised. You didn't
it's
cut
confirmed.
Out at all.
Yeah. Julie Robbenheimer was actually on a space with me after talking to Tom Fitzgerald herself. She confirmed that he received an 8-year offer at a very fair number and said no. There was no negotiation. He just said no. He wants the unfair offer. And he said, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove that I deserve the unfair offer. And so far this season,
that's right.
He's proving that he deserves the unfair offer. So, it is what it is. As a fan of both him and the team, I want him to take the lower number, but I want him to also get the higher number. So,
Jack Hughes on the lower number. You can't have both.
Well, so, and that's something that Devils fans keep coming back to, is that Jack Hughes took the lower number so that when push comes to shove and we have to give someone the higher number, that we can afford to do so. We just didn't think it would be in-house. We thought that meant, you know, a free agent. So it is what it is. So Brat is looking to cash out. I mean, it's pretty clear, to anyone paying attention that he would like to get paid as much as possible, but both he and Tom Fitzgerald have both made very strong indications that that is possible with the New Jersey Devils and that he wants it to be with the New Jersey Devils. So anything short of the team really, really refusing to, you know, pay him what he ends up really earning, I have no doubt that he's going to be with the team long term.
Well, let me tell you where the Devils front office messed up. They drafted a guy, and they what you should have done is not let any of your young stars play power play, because this way you repress their points values, yeah. And when the contracts come up, they can't get unfairly paid because you go, hey, you had 19 points last year. I know your underlying metrics are good.
They're all 5-on-5.
Yeah. But does it really matter? Like, he's like, the only thing we give contracts out is for points. That's the NHL. If you have points, you get paid. You don't have points, you don't get paid. So that's
absolutely
why Alexi Lafreniere is going to come in, come down to, I was going to say Jeff Gordon. That is not the right answer. Chris Drury's office. And he'd be like, oh, so you're going to pay me? He's like, you mean that 2-year bridge for $2 million? Sweet, Brody. That's what's going to happen. So that's where the Devil's front office just messed up. Because I've been watching this for the last couple of years, as you know, with Kako, where it's like, okay, I was scared he was going, not going to leave, but rather be traded, be benched in game 6, or just be frankly bad, but that has not been the case. And I like don't know how they're going to afford him if he's still doing this and the points eventually do come 2 years from now. Like you said, the answer was in-house with Brat, and it's also like you're not finding a better play than Brat on free agency. I would be shocked if you found someone even 70% of his quality in free agency in the next 3 years.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, obviously the Johnny Gaudreau thing hurt really, really bad on that day. And that was the specific day you did join my Twitter space. And trust me, everyone was very, very not fond of you for good reason. And it really hurt that day. But, you know, looking forward to where we're spending our money with Brat commanding as much as he is, honestly, it worked out better because now we can give it there.
Well, it looks like Johnny Gaudreau didn't really make the best choice.
Yeah, and I'll say this. As much as your space could have hated Ryan, I've been doing this show with Ryan for 7 years. none of you have the amount of discontent I have for the man. So get in line. One thing I do want to talk about, obviously this Devils team is really fun and exciting, but let's put into perspective a little bit the Rangers v. Devils aspect of this.
Yeah, sure.
So for Ranger fans, I don't think Ryan or myself would really put the Devils in the top three in terms of like the Rangers' biggest rivals, quote unquote.
But oh, no, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. We haven't done the show long. It's been 7 years. Like in that time period, it just like hasn't really been a lot of Devils Rangers, where it's like Islanders, Penguins, Flyers, like those have been some serious rivalries. Whereas
The Flyers are in my top three. I'd say the Lightning are in my top three before the Devils.
The Lightning,
absolutely, absolutely.
No. All right, that is recency bias at its finest.
Yes, that's what rivalries are. I don't give a shit. Here's the thing. You know how old I was in 1994? Five. I don't give a shit about anything that happened when I was five. Rivalries to me, it's the decade you're living in. Who are the teams that are preventing me from possibly being as good as I can be? They're rivals. And then for me, I only get, in my eyes, I see you're allowed two regional rivals that you really give a shit about. It's the Islanders and the Flyers. Those are the two I give more shits about than anything the Devils are doing. I just don't care.
But that's going to change now, possibly.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't care about the Washington Nationals. And they won a World Series.
I mean, but even, I mean, 94 is 94. That's a long time ago. But even as recent as 2012, it was alive and well.
It was. And then it just petered. It's been a decade. Like, those things peter out a little bit.
I know. No, I get it. I get it.
Where Rangers-Islanders, it goes off, like, every single time. Even though the Islanders have beat the piss out of the Rangers.
I mean, the Yankees are good and the Red Sox are bad. Does that mean, like, they're, like, fading away?
No,
that's the thing. Like, the hate goes to the Islanders.
But that's like the Islanders don't need to be good for me to dislike the Islanders. I don't have that relationship with the Devils, and I don't think I ever will.
I'm genuinely shocked by that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't hate the Devils that much. Or maybe it's because Keith played there. We were friends.
I am completely agnostic to the Devils. Everything they do, there are things that I like about them. There are things I dislike about them. But when it comes to, like, name the five teams you really hate, the Devils will not scratch that list.
I think they're, like, number five for me.
You know, so let me ask you guys a question. What state do each of you live in?
I was born and raised in Bayshore, Long Island, and now I live in Philadelphia.
And I was born in suburban Connecticut, and I'm now in New York.
Okay, so neither of you were born or live in New Jersey at all?
No, thank God.
So, I call it a drive-through state for a reason. Yeah.
All right, bud. You were born in Long Island, moved to Philadelphia. I don't know about that. I would, you guys can feel however you want to feel, but I'd be very curious to hear from a Rangers fan that lives in New Jersey, because that's where most of you live. I mean, most of you guys are frauds. You live in New Jersey. And the dynamic is just different. When you have the New Jersey team, like, really, like, in your backyard, and you still don't root for him, and you root for somewhere else where you don't even live, which doesn't make any sense, but you do it anyway. I think the rivalry changes a little bit, at least. No?
Well, I mean, you're talking... Talk to all the Giants and Jets fans out there, my friend. They are...
The Giants and Jets actually play in New Jersey.
That's what I'm saying. All the people in New York should just be rooting for the Bills. That's it.
Yeah, sure. Go do that, then. You're not going to win this argument, bud, because I'm a New Jersey Giants fan.
I don't... To me, there is only a certain amount of capacity your heart could possibly hold for hate in every sport. And I just... I think the whole mystique was broken when the Rangers signed Bobby Holik. I just couldn't hate the Devils anymore.
I mean, that's up to you guys, but I'm telling you right now, at least from here on out, we're going to make you hate the Devils.
No. I can hate you, no problem. I will. You're not going to get me to hate another hockey team. I get it. I should. Ranger fans, I think, are more annoyed by Bro Dirt talk than they actually hate the Devils. And I truly believe that.
Yeah, I agree. And I there is a chance we meet in the playoffs this year. Let's talk about your prospects for the year. Obviously,
sure.
9 wins in a row right now. I had you ranked as fourth in the Metro. I expected the team to be good and frisky. I didn't expect them to be this.
Yeah.
How do you see this continuing? Obviously, the goaltending is an issue, but Do you think the team's good enough to just run away with the division if possible, or is Carolina going to catch up? I don't think the Rangers are going to be the one. I think they will finish like third or fourth in this position, but still.
Yeah, honestly, I think the Devils and the Rangers are going to be absolutely duking it out for third or fourth in the division. I think, you know, teams like Carolina will catch up. I don't see, you know, 9 games is 9 games, and that's great. And, you know, 2 points is 2 points in November or April. So we are reaching a point where this win streak will affect, you know, our place in the standings simply because we're racking up points while we can. But I don't see the team, you know, winning out for the rest of the year, obviously. I think they do slow down. I think they come back to earth a little bit. The one thing that really sticks with me, and we talked, and I know you mentioned, you know, underlying metrics. The Devils have them. This is not a win streak like we saw Buffalo go on a few years ago. They won 10 straight, and the entire time they were winning 10 games, every single fan in the league was like, that's nice. No one cares. They suck. Like, they're going to go back to sucking. They've won 10 games. Who cares? I'm just not getting that from these Devils. Their metrics are good. The numbers are good. Every game they're winning, they're blowing teams out in terms of, you know, expected goal share and all that fun stuff. If the goaltending holds up, there's really no reason why this team can't finish, you know, second or third in the Metro. So going into this season, I had us as a 90 to 95 point team, maybe hitting wild card two, maybe just missing by a spot or two. But given what's happening so far, you know, you can't take these points away once they're given. I could see second or third in the Metro. I think three or four, maybe more likely. I think they're going to make the playoffs at this point, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans, I mean, surely this has happened on our side when a team starts off not as well as you expect and people freak out. But people do forget that a team can start hot like the Devils, and now all you have to really do from now until the end of the season, you just have to play 500 hockey. Just don't lose more games than you win. And the New Jersey Devils are going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, we're 9 games over 500. You're right. 500 hockey keeps us 9 games over 500. That's a playoff team.
Yeah, that gets you, I think, like the magic number usually in terms of point percentage is somewhere around like 58%.
Yeah.
If the Devils play 500 for here, you'll stay above 50%. Don't math check me, anybody listening to this. I don't know that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Sure. But it feels like if you're playing 500 after this hot start, the Devils will at least be a wild card team.
Like I said, points in November matter as much as points in April, and you can't take away the 18 points they have in 9 games. So, you know, even if they play 500 hockey the rest of the way, which I think they still could even do better than that, like you said, that's enough. I'll take it.
Let me put it this way. I understand the preface of this question is every hockey team, if they suffer a major injury, something bad is going to happen.
But sure, absolutely.
When we're talking about the Devils, we're at least talking about two players that have suffered major injuries in the last couple of years, and Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
Is there, in your mind, a higher need for the Devils to really go out and make a splash at the deadline? Because, yeah, it's great and good right now when everyone's healthy, but
right,
we've seen the Devils lose major players before and sink faster than the Titanic.
I'm going to say if Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier goes down, they do not need to go make a big splash. If Vitek Vanacek goes down, they absolutely need to go make a big splash. I think the goaltending is so much bigger than everything else right now that I think the players, the forward group at least, is playing to a certain level that even if Jack or Nico went down, I think we could still get by until they get back. But if a goalie goes down, I think we're toast. I am so scared. Like, I am terrified of a goalie going down right now.
Let's talk about the Metro in general, because I think it's the most fascinating division in hockey this year. I think all other divisions are going to be pretty much wrapped up pretty early, unfortunately. Whereas that was the case with the Metro last year, but I think it'll be a six-team race with 5 winners. I could really see the Metro getting 5 teams in with 2 wild cards this year. Who's the out team for you if you had one? Is it Washington? Does Pittsburgh finally hit the skids? What is it?
You know, if you had asked me like right before the season, I think my answer would be different. I think my answer before the season started would have been Pittsburgh. It's one of those things where they have to run out of gas eventually. Those guys just have to get old eventually. And this part of this is just me coping because they never will. But given the slow start they've gotten off to and given the start that other teams have gotten off to, Washington's looking like the team right now. Like, I just – they don't seem to be putting it together. You know, injuries getting in their way. I don't know what it is, but we're just seeing a year from them that I just don't think they're going to work it out.
I was just looking at the Devils cap friendly page because I've always liked the Devils as this team that can do just about anything because they never spend money. When the fuck did you guys get capped out? honestly, when the shit did that happen? I have no idea. Is that all Palat?
You know, that has been a conversation that Devils fans have been having for years now because there's been this, like, stupid myth that never had any traction that the owners had an internal cap that they wouldn't spend, you know, to the cap, that they would stop well beforehand. And this year, they basically said, look, the rebuild is coming to an end. Whether we go out and get someone or not, our guys like Heischer, Hughes, you know, Bratt are developed to a point where they're ready to go. We need to, like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it soon. So some of the trades that were made, you know, much like Ty Smith for John Marino. Ty Smith was not making a lot of money. John Marino's making $4.5 million. You make a couple trades like that, you know, plus $4 million each, you're going to start hitting the cap very soon. So we go out, get Palat, we get Marino, we sign Vanacek, and suddenly it's like, well, we have $50 left. You know, it crept up on us.
Yeah, I honestly, looking at it, it's projected cap space zero. And I have no idea. I literally had no idea when that was happening. But you brought up a guy I actually wanted to talk about because he's the guy I hear about more from our buddy Jeff, who's a big Devils fan, and that is John Marino. You essentially took a post-hype defenseman that plenty of people who have come on this show were very high about in Brew. Ty Smith, had a horrendous year last year, turned him into John Marino, and John Marino is like, he's one of those guys you get on your team where he'll never be a star, but you forget how good above average is, and he's just always going to be above average.
Yeah.
He's never going to be great. He's never going to be average, though. He's always going to be better than most.
He will always be above average, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to tell you, it's really fucking nice. So what the fuck is this all about? Why? Why is my question?
Well, I will counter that with the most obvious question in the world right now. Is Ty Smith in the NHL currently?
No, he's really bad.
No.
He's so bad.
No, he's not.
We have a whole award that we like because our guy Drew, he comes on the show all the time. He's basically our prospect guy.
Yeah.
And he identified Ty Smith as his, like, undervalued and underappreciated guy in the first ever draft class we looked at. And then Ty Smith immediately came out, looked really good his first year. Who would you rather have, him or Libor Hájek? Honest question.
No, and he's serious because Libor, all of a sudden, I got to tell you, it's wild.
Yeah, well, because you know how John Marino is permanently above average? We're realizing how nice it is that Libor Hájek is now, like, permanently below average. He's not bad. He's just not
just
that good.
Just below average.
Yeah, he's just closer to average, and it's really nice.
Yeah, no, well, so the thing about Ty Smith is, you know, especially when it comes to professional scouting and its importance, this is an absolute masterclass because Ty Smith, you know, we've talked about already in this podcast, even underlying metrics versus point totals. Anyone who wasn't watching the Devils looked at Ty Smith's point totals and said, this guy's great for a rookie. That's awesome. He's going to be good. He's going to keep going up. Look at his underlying metrics. Watch a Devils game that year. He wasn't really that good. He got a lot of assists. A lot of them were secondary assists. He really wasn't that good. So we get to season two, and when the points aren't adding up, you really look at his game. And it was terrible. He was terrible his second season. He played 115 games with the Devils, and at no point was he really all that good. So we convinced someone else, and man, Pittsburgh played the fools on this one. We convinced someone else that he was the first year and he just needed a chance. And we got Marino, the safe bet, the always above average guy, and sold them on, well, Smith has a high ceiling. If you guys can get him back to first year, you guys can have him. And they bid it hook, line, and sinker. It was an absolute robbery.
It's mystery box in the boat. The Devils went to the Penguins like, hey, we'll take your boat and we'll give you this mystery box, which can become a boat. And the Penguins were like, what? We could trade a boat for another boat? That's great. And it's,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's the reason why the Penguins stink this year, but, you know, just thinking out loud.
But the decisions they make, like that one, are why they stink this year.
They essentially chose Ricard Raquel over John Marino. They weren't missing Raquel. They could have gone out and traded for another Raquel at any point during the season. Every time a team is like, when you sign the superfluous object instead of keeping what you really need, I eat it up and I love every second of it.
This is why when we signed Barkley Goodrow for 6 years, we were kind of confused because Jimmy Vesey is just Barkley Goodrow, but he was on PTO. So,
absolutely.
Now, two-part question here, Brat, or Mr. Yeah. Pack. Sorry, my apologies.
Please.
Mr.
Brat
Mr.
is
Pack.
My father. Or, yeah. The other way around. Shit, Mr. Pack is my father.
Yeah, Mr. Pack. Two-part question. So we've talked a lot about teams in the Metro, but we haven't gotten your take, your legitimate take on the New York Rangers this year. And on top of that, what's it like being the fifth most popular person on Rangers Twitter?
All right, listen. I said this when you guys were on your incredible run last year, and I meant it at the time, and I mean it now. The New York Rangers of last year and this year remind me of the Bubble Flyers. The Bubble Flyers were first place, unstoppable, white hot, looked amazing. Every player was playing out of their minds, and it lasted way too long. I thought they were mid. I didn't think they were that good. I thought they would come back down to earth, and for a season and a half almost, they didn't. And all my Flyers friends laughed at me constantly, saying the Flyers are here, like, this is just our team, they're just that good. And now they're absolute dog shit again. Not saying that the Rangers are absolute dog shit, but last year you went on an absolute run. Every single guy looked like a superstar. Chris Kreider scored 50 goals. Like, can we all acknowledge how crazy that is? Like, I know Rangers fans, like, love him as this elite goal scorer now, but it's Chris Kreider.
He's not an elite goal scorer. He's never been a 30-goal scorer in his life, and then he was like, I think I figured this tipping thing out.
I think
anybody
I'll just
else
go for
do
50
this?
Now.
I got more goals on the power play than most teams? Okay.
Yeah, and the one thing I will give you guys, especially over my Flyers comparison, is Shesterkin looks like he's going to be top of the league for 10-plus years. No one's going to take that away from you. Zibanejad, absolute superstar. Panarin, absolute superstar. That you guys have that the Flyers team that I'm talking about didn't have. So there are some differences, but especially last year, there were some breaks that went each way. I mean, Penguins had their goalies go down. Trouba committed murder.
Yeah, we know. He's captain now.
Excuse you. First of all, he committed. Learn fucking law, all right? That was manslaughter, not murder. There was nothing premeditated about what Jacob Trouba did. That was vehicular manslaughter, and there's a difference.
Yeah, so Trouba took out more people than OJ. You guys went on a run, like, you know.
Well, I know. That's a good comparison, because by law, OJ didn't kill
anybody. Because, No, it's actually a great comparison. Like, good job me on that one, because OJ was legally innocent.
Is Trouba.
So is Trouba.
Yeah, Trouba didn't get suspended, so actually they're on equal footing.
But we all know what both of them did, okay?
You're right. OJ killed people, and Jacob Trouba is a perfectly clean hockey player. We all know what they did. You're right.
Yeah, no, so everything clicked. Everything clicked for a very long time. A whole season, you guys absolutely clicked. And now you're coming back down to earth a little bit. I don't think this is necessarily a cold spell for you guys. I think this is closer to the team that you guys are. And again, not bad. You're a playoff team. I think you guys are still put a good squad together. You have multiple superstars. You have a top two goalie in the league, and he's not number two. So, you know, you have tools that if everyone else clicks around it, you are capable of those runs. And I think there's something to be said about that. That's really awesome. But I don't think you are what you were last year. I don't think you're going back to the conference finals. So I look forward to meeting you in the playoffs. I look forward to running you out of the playoffs.
It's going
to
happen. Two quick things before Greg gets into this.
Well, no, hold on. But I just to add on to that point, it's funny that you said the Rangers, if you looked at their underlying metrics, outperformed everything last year. And the Rangers this year, if you look at their underlying metrics, they can't possibly be this bad at putting the puck
this
in the
net. Literally what I was going to say, Greg. So I'm glad you're saying it, because last year the team sucked. I agree with you. They looked like shit every game. They hung around. They played like poop for 49 minutes of the night. All of a sudden, they just like were like, okay, I guess we'll score to tie it up and go to overtime. I think they won like 8 overtime games and shootouts. Like,
yeah,
crazy shit. This year, they're shooting the lights out. They look like a better team 53% of the, like, 90% of the game. I'm just saying percentages. They're right. Fucking awesome. But they lose all these games where they're just the better team. Whereas when they play Arizona Coyotes last night, they look like crap. And then it's like, I was like, hey, I know this team. This team can win. Like, this is the team I know. So it is like it is totally different from last year, whereas it's not like that they forgot how to win. It just almost feels like they took their foot off because they proved it already, but that's just not how you can do it in the NHL.
Well, and it's an interesting thing because I really don't think they did prove it. I mean, I know they won 2 playoff series, and no one can take that away from you. But, I mean, we're a starting goalie and a Crosby injury away from you guys going home in, you know, 5 games in 1 series instead. So it was like on borrowed time to begin with. So the idea that they would, you know, come out in a slump taking their foot off the gas is like borderline comical at that point. I just think you are learning what the rest of the league feels, that when your goalie doesn't bail you out of every game, you're going to lose some of them.
I just want to also clarify, the Rangers lost to Louis Domingue in the playoffs. Like, they beat the starter. when Pittsburgh had a goalie, the Rangers were better. They suck against guys who shouldn't be in the National Hockey League. They're just like, yeah. It's like they panic. They literally came too early when they saw Louis Domingue in goal. And then they got a normal goal, and they're like, all right, I know how to finesse this in for 60 minutes. No problem. But yeah, honestly, it is funny when other fans like, oh, the Rangers are getting some comeuppance. When last year, if you listen to this podcast, Ryan and I would come on and be like, this is unsustainable. They have a goalie who doesn't want to give up any goals, and they are only scoring on the power play. And if some team is just smart enough to not take a penalty against the Rangers, they'll never score again. And this year,
and then the refs were like, we're not calling any penalties in this Eastern Conference final. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And if I can just make one point, because this has got to be my favorite point ever. This is by far, bar none, my favorite thing on Rangers Twitter. I see this all the time. The team is bad 5-on-5. And my response to that is, you mean how hockey's played?
This year they're not bad at 5v5. They were bad last year.
They're bad at hockey. Like, that's how many guys are on the ice for hockey.
Like, hey, listen, there's a couple parts of the game. Special teams is a big part, all right? Listen, if they were going to take it out, they should have, but it's still part of it.
No. I totally understand it. And you know, I know you know that I know, you know, what I'm saying here. But
you know that I know. They know, and people listening know that we know.
Yeah. but that is just the funniest sentence that any Rangers fan comes at me with, like, oh, yeah, no, we're really good. We're just bad 5-on-5. Like, oh, yeah, that's hockey. Good job.
Well, you guys are really good at 5v5, and the power play, you're just bad at the goaltender. Like, so we're both 2-for-3. Like, that's where we're going. Not that
for
big
sure.
a deal.
Absolutely.
Gregory, any final questions for our wonderful guest?
Yes. What are you changing your name to when Brad leaves as free?
You know, I had to face that possibility this past offseason.
I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, our arbitration was staring me in the face. Well, guess what? Arbitration blinked.
It's crazy that, and I know you DM'd me this, and I'm not reporting it, but you said that he said to you he's staying on the ice. That's crazy. Nice job. That's awesome.
Yeah, okay.
I think we can all agree that at the end of the day here, arbitration is the best player in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. And, like, I don't want, like, credit or anything saying Blue Shirts Breakaway first reported that on this show when he stays or signs, that you leaked that source to me, but that's just my 2 cents. So that would be a real shame if I got credit for that.
You know what? when I was very, very, very lucky and fortunate enough to meet him, I made sure that I did not ask that at all. I don't you know, I don't want to know.
You can't, dude. Like, I'll see it. Just like, hey, thanks for everything you do. What else you
gonna
say?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's really all it was. But yeah, no, yeah. I have full faith. Like, I don't need to ask that question because I know he's staying, you know?
Yeah, so that's the difference between you two and me, because if I met Jacob deGrom 2 years ago, my very first question would be like, hey, motherfucker, are you staying? Are you leaving me?
Please!
Brat Pack, or sorry, Mr. Pack, thank you so much for joining.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to let you plug anything, but I appreciate you being here.
Well, he doesn't need to plug everything. He's on Ranger Twitter already. They know him.
Wait, I didn't answer your second question. What's it like being a top five Rangers Twitter account? I'll say this. You guys are the easiest, dumbest motherfuckers on the internet.
No, that's true.
Yeah, I'm right there, bro. Like, yeah.
No, that I got something weird's happened in the water in New York in like the last 5 years. We're all some pretty big dumb idiots.
I have to say Kakko's name, and I have 1,000 likes rolling into my account within an hour. It is insane.
Just on Saturday or a Thursday night. This is between us, of course, in this podcast. Just tweet out Kakko LOL random, not no game. No, like, no anything. And just see who shows up. Well, no. Okay.
You know what? I think I will do that because it is just too easy. It's just so simple. And the one thing I really actually do appreciate about it is, like, I want to say, like, 40% of the people that I interact with who are Rangers fans have figured out what I'm doing and what I'm about and you know, the shtick in general. And they love it, and they play along, and it's fun. And I just tweet what I think is funny. You know, I really am not there to fight anyone. Like, I don't stir
the pot. You're preaching to the choir, except Greg is here to fight. Like,
I don't
fight.
If someone says something stupid in my replies, I need them to know that they're stupid. Like, no, it's important to me.
No, I pour the gasoline out. I light the match. I toss it, and I run. I don't do it to sit around and fight. I just like watching, you know, the explosion go up.
Last point, because you got to meet a lot of people from the internet this weekend. We did as well. A lot of people came out to our bar watch. It's shocking how many people are nice and not assholes that you meet from Twitter. And it's nice, like, where are those
nice
five guys
normal
that yell at me every day?
Absolutely. Nice and normal. I am so surprised. And I was surprised this week. Like you said, I met like hundreds of people this weekend, and every single one of them were wonderful people. Like,
super nice. Like hey, nice, just love the team. Normal. Just part of my family.
There,
like,
yeah,
you know,
there was, I don't know if you met her, Ryan. There was one person at our watch party on Saturday, and here's how she introduces herself to me. She goes, "Are you Greg? You sound like Greg." And I go, "Yeah." And she's like, "I can't stand your fucking podcast, but my husband loves
God.
It. Let me introduce you to my husband." And I
no
was like,
way.
That's a wild way to say hi. You can just say hi. I don't need to know. Like, if you don't like me, it's fine. I get it. The podcast stinks. But she's like, I need you to know that I can't stand you. But I love my husband so much that I need you to meet him. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I hope he's a happy man. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah,
I'm so excited for her to hear this part of the podcast because he makes her listen. And she's going to be like, honey, that's me. That was me.
Yeah, no, everything's been great. Every Rangers fan that I've met in real life has been awesome, and people understand what I'm doing. But there's that, you know, 60% that I'm talking about that the moment I post anything will be in my replies being like, rent free, little brother. And it's like, I don't give a fuck, dude.
You know? Just enjoy it, buddy. It's fun.
Yeah, just laugh and scroll.
It only gets crazier. So
absolutely.
Thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you guys.
This special episode.
Thank you guys so much for inviting me. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to be a part of your anniversary. Congrats on 7 years.
Thank you.
I think you have about 20 more to go till the Rangers win a cup if we're on current pace.
Probably going to die first, to be honest.
Yeah, the Mets win. It's long reported. If the Mets win a World Series, I'm dead and this ends.
The podcast is over. Yeah.
And I'm going to take your opportunity of not letting me plug anything to just say Jesper Bratt is the best player in the NHL.
Hard to argue sometimes. Hard to argue. Great player. It would be a real shame something happened. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Ryan. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. Love you guys. Bye. Okay. Thanks to the Brat Pack. It's the end of the show. You know what I do here? I thank our NHL Insiders Club, all 73 names, all 73 people that support this podcast to make it happen, along with the other Patreons, of course. And I'm actually at home. And by home, I mean back on Long Island. in my childhood bedroom for personal reasons. Everything's okay. Just driving my mom around to some doctor's appointments. No big deal. I didn't want that. Probably came off like super bad. Like, hey, what's wrong, Ryan? No, everything's okay. But it is funny to be back here. And I'm going to get into some emotional little monologue about the show in 7 years of what has happened. But I also am on my tiny little laptop recording on the road. So I'm going to try and read all these names in a row while scrolling, while like almost in a closet, because I have a lot of dedication to you. Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen. Wow, off to a hot start. Adam Curtulo, Adam Linder. Adam Linder, are you new? Welcome, Adam Linder. Adam Keach, Alex Flynn, Alex Carter, Anthony Terragata, Ben Water. Oh my God, Ben Weber, Bill Ritzel, Brandon Lagos, Brendan Magnus, Brett Granger, Brett McGinnis, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Chris Finelli, Chris Howard, CJ Stelwick, and Conrad P. Damage, Daniel DeZen, David Narita, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Darian, Eric Stagg, Gary Reynes, Give Gardner a Cup, Gretzky, Gareth McFly, Harris Nasco, Hippie 59, Hell Sauce, Ian Rodriguez, Ian Usher, Jake B., James Masker, Jerry and Marquez, JD, James, John Jacques, Franquez, Jean Jean, Jimmy Mack, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Justin Crust, Jordan, Justin, Josh Keshtabob, Justin Freeman, Chris from Florida, Christoph Berg. Going to the next page. Loading. The internet is slow. Laser Gronowski. That was the worst one I've ever done, my friend. I'm so sorry. Lou Giordano, Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Mike Bucklaw, Neil Grover, Nicholas DiNicola, Pascal Perrier, Pavel Kojarev, Pro World Attacks Gamer, Randy Tesser, oh, so nice seeing you this weekend, Randy. Stigbulbach, Swinegart, Tommy Welsh, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy Arch Jr., Tommy O'Neill, all the Tommies, Tori from Manhattan, one of our original supporters. Really appreciate you, Tori. Upstate Van Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston, the Golden Retriever. I actually had somebody come up to me this weekend and say, hey, is Winston the Golden Retriever here? Which I thought was super funny. Anywho, it's been 7 years of doing this stupid fucking podcast, and we're still covering the Rangers. I have my PhD in covering the Rangers. And I mentioned being in my childhood bedroom because this is where it all started. I'll never forget the first episode we did. I pressed record, and it was like I was on live TV. I was like hesitating, sweating. Sometimes I still sweat, just full disclosure. But super nervous. Everything was just miserable. I sometimes listen back to those first couple episodes that we deleted off the internet. Not for anything bad. We just didn't pay for SoundCloud at the time. That's it. Where they're just terrible. We're not doing a good job. But we've come such a long way, Greg and I, and gone through a lot behind the scenes that you haven't seen. But we've met so many great people from the podcast, and that's kind of where I want to focus this on, is not like what we've done, but the people we've met. I've gotten to go to weddings because of this podcast. I have made a lot of friends. I literally have my day job because of this podcast. The people I've met and the community building, you know, I think a lot of fan bases, and probably rightly so sometimes, get a lot of shit. But New York Ranger fans and people I've met over the years doing this show, whether it's on Twitter, people I interact with every single day, I've never met Hockey Statminer. I would do a lot for that man. I've never met him. But there are people that are part of my life from doing this show that have just constantly surprised me. Everyone's been super nice. Everyone's been down to earth. And I've just made a lot of lifelong friends and connections I would have never made otherwise. And sometimes like I hope we can do that for other people too, where the Rangers are part of our community. Like, let's not kid ourselves. If you're listening to this, you're a psychopath. And this is part of your identity. If you're here and you've gotten to 4 minutes after the podcast has ended listening to me talk about my 7-year anniversary, you are a psycho, and I am too. But that's cool, because we're all like in this together. And I hope that we've been able to connect people, that we've been able to get people like a fun place to talk about the Rangers where sports are fun, because dude, life is hard. It is not easy out there. But the times when the Rangers are good and when we can complain about the most important thing in life is everything else that's not hockey. Hockey is the most important, non-important thing. That's for sure. But it runs my life in a million ways. And it's hopefully brought in some great times to you, because it's brought in a lot of great to me. So I hope that you guys get something out of this podcast sometimes. I'm kind of just fucking rambling. And I hope we provide you some shitty entertainment, because sometimes we don't even believe people listen. But then we meet people over the weekend, and we're like, you guys are real? Like, everyone's really nice. So Appreciate you all. Can't thank you all enough for the 7 wonderful years. And I don't, like, if the Mets ever win a World Series, I don't care about the Mets. But Greg will die, so the podcast will end that day. And I don't know how many years we got left in us, because 7 is a lot. If we make it to a decade, that's insane. I'm not saying there's no rumors, everything's cool. Don't aggregate this. We're fine. But it is shocking. We started this in this shitty little bedroom I'm in when I was like 25. So I guess the eternal question was, why not us? And the answer was, it was us. And I just hope it's the same for the New York Rangers this year. Love you guys, and we'll see you for BSBOT later this week.